Well, good morning, friends, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kelly F., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic from Tulsa, Oklahoma. So today's Tuesday, September 17, 2024, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Vision for You meeting. Today, we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in We Agnostics. We're on page 47, second paragraph. It starts, "We needed to ask ourselves but one sure question," through that paragraph ending with, "Effective spiritual structure can be built." And we'll be commenting on just that one paragraph. So today's readers are 12 Steps, Susan G. The 12 Traditions will be Rena L. Danny P. is reading the text, and Nick F. will be reading page 164. So the newcomer greeter this morning will be Chris W., and second hour host is Christine G. The reference number for yesterday, Monday, September 16, 2024, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time, 21745, 21745, and the 10 a.m. Eastern Time reference number, 21746, 21746. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, quote, "Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers," end quote. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So I will now ask Susan G. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Susan.
Well, good morning, Susan in Tennessee. All right, I'm a compulsive overeater, recovered, not cured. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous are, 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. And 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me give service, and I pass.
Well, thanks for your service, Susan G. And now Rena L. will read our 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Rena.
Good morning. This is Rena L., recovered compulsive eater from Toledo, Ohio. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but only to create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name that ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Well, thank you so much, Rena L. So here is how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no absence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book meant to us or mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. Have a quiet meeting. Everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. All right, so today we're resuming our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in We Agnostics. We're on page 47. We're in the second paragraph. Starts out, we need to ask ourselves but one short question. Through that paragraph, ending with effective spiritual structure can be built. And we'll be coming on just that one paragraph. And Danny P. is going to get us started. Good morning, Danny. Danny, star one.
Good morning, Kelly. Thank you for your service. We need to ask ourselves with one short question. Do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe, that there is a power greater than myself? As soon as a man can say that he does believe or is willing to believe, we emphatically assure him that he is on his way. It has been repeatedly proven among us that upon this simple cornerstone, a wonderfully effective spiritual structure can be built. Wow. I'm Danny P. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, only by God's grace and mercy, and I'm calling from Brazil. I'm very grateful to be reading the instructions of step 2 here. So here, the book is inviting me to make a decision. Do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe? So if I'm an agnostic, I just need to believe. And if I'm an atheist, I just need to be willing to believe. And it's so gentle, this invitation, because I can start with the belief or only the willingness to believe. And that's enough to make a good start. That's enough to start my spiritual journey. And I love the architectural analogy of an arch through which we pass to freedom that describes this building process of the first 5 steps. And here I assume that step 1 is the foundation of this spiritual structure, and step 2 is the cornerstone. And the cornerstone is the first stone that I will put on this foundation and will determine the direction. And this is very important, because as I'm making this decision to believe, an act of my will, I need direction for my will. That's what I need. And I can start with this belief, but I need to believe. Because if I don't believe, I won't seek God. And I need to seek this power desperately, diligently, honestly, fearlessly. That's what I need. And what's interesting is for the steps, I start with a belief. So I have no knowledge. I have no certitude. But this will become a knowledge. Today, I do not believe that there is a power that can restore my sanity. I know there is a power that can restore my sanity, that is restoring my sanity. And today, like, I have this certainty. The central fact of my life is the certainty that there is a power. And he has commenced to accomplish for me all those things that I cannot do for myself. So thank you for letting me share.
Well, that's perfect timing. Thank you, Danny P. from Brazil, for getting us started. All right, guys, so we're going to open up the meeting for sharing. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too, which means if you shared last Friday or yesterday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share. And please keep your share to 3 minutes. I'll remind you when your time is up. Give me your first name, initial of your last, and where you're calling from. All right, go.
Rick
J. Rick J. Was that Shauna?
Shauna
P.
J.
Carolina.
Shauna C. Wait.
Lisa
I didn't
B.
Hear that next one.
Janet.
Kendall.
Janet B.
Lisa N.
Yeah.
Kendall M. from New Jersey.
Kendall M.
Did you get Christina Kelly?
Well, I thought I heard you, yeah. But I didn't. But yeah, I left the space going. I thought I heard
B.
you. All right.
Lisa B.
Gotcha, Lisa.
Kelly, do you have me?
No, sir, I don't.
Charlotte
What's your name
G.
again? Kidding.
Charlotte T. from Nashville.
Charlotte.
Robin P. in Costa Rica.
All right. Well, thank you guys for coming in so calm. I know you don't really have any control over that because I know how it is. But let's stop there. So here's what I got, quite a list. Rick J, Shanna C, Christina J, Lisa B, Janet B, Lisa N, Kendall M, I think, Harlan G, Charlotte T, and Robin P. So please make sure your phones are muted again by pressing *1. Nice quiet meeting. And let's get started with Rick J followed by Shanna C. Good morning, Rick.
Hey, good morning, Kelly. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Rick J. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. In Cary, North Carolina. And, you know, this was the turning point for me, this invitation, like Danny said, you know, it's an invitation. And it's inviting me, that the writers here, Bill and Bob and all the other people who were together putting this book together, you know, they're inviting me to do what they did that worked for them. And my experience is that, you know, being very agnostic, hostile sometimes even, most of my whole life, I really struggled with the idea of having to do this if I wanted to recover. And I'm so grateful that the wording here, they're making sure that I understand that this power, this greater than myself, it doesn't matter what I call this power. I choose to call it this power God today. This power is personal to me, and I've been building a relationship, a personal relationship with this God of my understanding. And that's the other thing that I love, that it's what I understand. So if I am making a decision to believe this, in this power, it doesn't matter what I call it, but I'm making a decision to believe in it. And that very act of belief opens the door for the actual reality of this power manifesting itself in me. And I could see this power working with other people. I could see it. I could see it in them. And I realized that if it can work for them, it can work for me. So who am I? So I realized also that whether or not I call myself agnostic, it's a decision at this point. I have enough information to where I don't have to be agnostic unless I make a decision to be agnostic, because if I'm working step two, I am making this power greater than myself something that I am wanting to develop and come to believe in more and more. I don't have a spiritual awakening on step two. I heard that recently. I have a beginning with a connection with a power that's greater than me. And I understand that it can only be a power greater than me. It cannot be human power. And with that, I just keep releasing the things that block me from this power and connecting to this power as much as I can through prayer and meditation, working the steps, releasing it, connecting, being with my fellows, doing service, and with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Rick J. from North Carolina. All right, next up, Shanna C., followed by Christina J. Good morning, Shanna. Shanna, star one. Shanna, can I hear you? All right, well, let's go on to Christina J. Christina?
Morning, Kelly. Morning, everyone. I believed in a power greater than myself that I always called God. What I have learned over the years is that I need to believe. And it says here, as soon as a man can say that he does believe or is willing to believe, we empathetically assure him that he's on his way. I was on my way in step two when I first came in, but I didn't know what that way was going to be. And what that way has told me, or what has taught me, is that this cornerstone was weak. And it says, a wonderfully effective spiritual structure can be built. For me, that structure had to be the words that started with and filled the structure. I believe that God can handle my food. I believe that God can save me from this compulsive overeating. I believe that God can handle my life. I believe I must surrender everything that I am trying to do. I believe that this God can handle my life, can handle my jealousy, can handle my relationships, can handle my frustration with 10,000 other people in the world, right? Or whatever it is. I had to come to that place. I had a willingness because I had a God. And I thought I was one and done. Oh, that's good. I'm done with this. I can move on, right? But what this program has taught me through walking the steps is that I have placed my belief and my power in all things outside myself, in my career, in my relationships, you know, in food, in everything other than this power. I love the feeling I have in my heart with this power. I love the way it fills me with love and joy when my husband hugs me, or when I see the flowers, or the sky is beautiful with a gentle breeze. You know, I can connect easily there. But put an a-hole in front of my face, challenging some deep place in me, and suddenly I'm in self. So this program has taught me that it's going to teach me how to live on life on life's terms, because life isn't, you know, it's not roses and butterflies, as many people have said. It's learning to walk and build this, strengthen this cornerstone that I already had, but wasn't very strong. But this wonderfully effective spiritual structure can be built and strengthened as I go along. And that has been the great gift. I mean, an incredible gift. I don't have to live in self anymore. I don't have to live in fear that God is not going to use my talents for something greater. I don't even have to ask what those are, because he's going to show me. I don't have to sit around and try to pontificate and say, well, what am I going to do? What am I going to do now? Be quiet. Be still. Live in today. Walk with love. Be kind to your coworkers. Try to help the newcomer. You know, right here, right now, this is what I'm learning. And it took me, I want to say, effing 60 years to learn that. I started learning it at 60, and I'm finally having it settle into my bones with this last round of being recovered. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Perfect timing, Christina. Where are you calling from? I think it's South Carolina, but All right, Shanna, are you there, Shanna? Star one. Well, I guess we lost Shanna.
It's North Carolina, Billy.
Okay, well, sorry. I wanted to go to Carolina.
That's all right.
All right, Shanna, I'm going to give you one last time. Star one. Okay. We will move on to Lisa B., followed by Janet B. Good morning, Lisa B.
Good morning, Kelly. This is Lisa. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you wonderful.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. My name is Lisa B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm calling from South Carolina, and I do spell my name L-E-S-A. This is such a wonderful reading, and I love wonderfully effective. It's effective. It works. It's a way of living that works, and I love that the person before me shared about that this is a program for living. It's about living life, and it can be done wonderfully. But the other word that jumps out for me is simple. I tend to complicate things. I really do. I overcomplicate things, and I don't know that I'm doing it. And then I start getting all into self, and I am closed off. I am not able to hear and just be a part of this wonderful experience going on all around me, but I'm caught up in self. You know, I have to listen every day to wonderful, strong meetings like this. I really do, and I have to share each day with fellows and work with newcomers and be in close contact with my creator and renewing my mind, you know, asking my creator to direct my thoughts and separate my thoughts from the self-seeking that is in there that overcomplicates things. But I love this paragraph because it says, am I even willing to believe? You know, it's just that willingness. It opens the door. Do I now believe? And what is this thing that I'm believing? That I'm not it. You know, I had a faith in God when I came in here, but I really thought I was God. I wouldn't say that to you. I didn't know that. But that's what this work, going through the steps, has shown me and continues to show me. I'm trying to play God, and I'm wanting to run the show. You know, I have to be willing to let the mystery be there and the unknown be there. I have to be willing to not have the answers. A lot of times I don't really have an answer of what the next step is. I just need to stay in the moment, in the now, and be connected. And, you know, I hear all of this for years. I've heard this even before I came in the program. I would read it in books and people would tell me, but it's beginning to make more sense to me. And I think, you know, I just wake up slowly over time. The longer I'm abstinent, the longer I'm recovered. And you know what about the spiritual structure being built? I realized that I was standing on this amazing spiritual structure that was uncovered as a result of going through the steps when I was sharing with a newcomer. I was right in steps 9, 10, and 11. We hadn't gone through 12 yet, but I wasn't really aware yet that I was recovered. But I was sharing with a newcomer, and out of my mouth was coming like this amazing stuff, you know, that wasn't from me. And I realized that this structure, it feeds me, it supports me, it sustains me. But I have to feed it, you know, through prayer, meditation, the steps, and doing the work, and surrendering every day, and letting God remove big, huge, giant chunks of me so that he can become more evident.
That's fine, Lisa.
And I thank you so much, Kelly, and for everyone that's doing service. I pass.
Thank you, Lisa B. from South Carolina. Next up, we have Janet B., followed by Lisa N. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Kelly. Good morning, everyone. This is Janet B., North Carolina. So I was a little brat until I recovered. And when anyone would tell me to do something, I would always say, how come? So they're saying, do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe there's a power greater than myself? So, right, a logical question is, well, how come? How come I have to believe that? When I was a kid and I got sinus infections and my mom gave me penicillin, I didn't have to believe that penicillin would restore me to health. But how come I have to? And I think the answer is because at its essence, this is a spiritual illness, right? Like in the physical world, I want a bag of groceries or my car filled with gas. I hand the clerk a $50 bill or a credit card. but I can't hand God my American Express card because money isn't the currency in the spiritual world. And they're telling me belief, that faith is the currency in the spiritual world. And then what does that do? It says, as soon as we believe or are willing to believe that God exists, we're on our way. On our way where? And it talks about a spiritual structure. But, like, what is that, right? God doesn't build me a house, but he kind of does something else. On page 25, it says, the central fact of our lives today is the absolute certainty that our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous. He has commenced to accomplish those things for us which we could never do for our, by ourselves, which means God comes into my heart, into my life in a way that's miraculous and removes the food obsession. The new spiritual structure is me, is us. God rebuilds us to make us more like him, that I stop being so selfish and self-centered and start caring more about other people. That came as a result of being willing to believe that there's a God and then following through with surrender and cleaning up my path and helping others. So after we answer the question, how come, I guess the next question someone might ask is, how? If I'm willing to believe in God, but I don't, how can I? And I'll just offer this one suggestion. We can say a prayer to the God who may or may not exist, and it can go something like this. God, I don't know if you exist. And if you do exist, I don't know if you're willing to help me. But if you do exist and you're willing to help me, I'm asking you to come into my life and help me. And I believe that that prayer gets things going in the spiritual plane so that God can come into our hearts and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Janet B. from North Carolina. Next up, we have Lisa N., followed by Kendall M. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. I'm Lisa N. from Wisconsin, and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater by God's grace and mercy. Thank you, everyone, for your shares so far. Really powerful this morning. When I came into OA, a local meeting, a long time ago, I don't know, like 16 years ago, I was not willing to believe. I had my own beliefs. In fact, I had 1,000 of them, and they were all based on books that I was reading, and I really feel like it was my self-sufficiency that I was really studying and praising, and, you know, I'm going to read all these books, and I'm going to learn, and I'm going to grow, not so much spiritually, I thought I was, but it was more, what am I going to learn here? I'm going to learn things, and I made that sort of a God. But what I really believe is that when I went into that program, when I went into that first meeting, I was humbled by hearing what people had to say, but then I was embarrassed. And so I shut down, and sometimes I'd go to the meeting, sometimes I wouldn't. And I'd listen to people, and I wasn't impressed. I needed to be impressed, and I wasn't. And so for 2 years, I sat there, and I sometimes went, sometimes didn't. And I was unwilling to believe in that book and what I was hearing. I couldn't open my mind, and there was a veil over it. And so I didn't know what I was, I really didn't know what I was doing there. But then I had a feeling, and it was this gift of desperation, I call it, when we hear about that. And I really did have a desire to open my ears and to find somebody to help me. And within 30 days of working with that person, all of a sudden I was abstinent. And I didn't know how that happened, but by God's grace. And so the cornerstone I had as a child was in place. I just needed to get rid of that, the stuff that I had built up on self-sufficiency. And it was all, it had to be knocked down, smashed down, and rebuilt. And I was finally willing to do that. And I did that through the 12 steps. And so if you're kind of confused about what your spirituality is, it just hang in there and listen to the speakers and pray the prayers every morning as you get up and find your own brand, find your own spirituality in these steps. And that'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Lisa N. from Wisconsin. Next up, I think it's Kendall M. and followed by Harlan G. Good morning, Kendall.
Hi, good morning. Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Hi, my name is Kendall M. from New Jersey, recovering compulsive overeater. Glad to be here. Thank you for your service in this meeting. Thanks for all who are here, and welcome to the newcomer. When I read this paragraph on page 47, what comes up for me is that I, in We Agnostics, is that I'm, you know, I'm seeking a spiritual experience, but and looking for a spiritual solution in this program. However, I realized that when I, before I came into this program, I was having a spiritual experience because, you know, I had to admit when I read this, I say, was I willing to believe in a power greater than myself? I did. I believed in the food. I believed in compulsive overeating. That was a power greater than myself. I was watching, it was like watching television and watching myself do things that I did not want to do with food, eating things out of the trash, eating well past the point of being full, and watching that demoralizing, that incomprehensible demoralization happen, watching my, you know, watching my body go through all of these things, go to new medications, and it was gruesome. But so that the proof that I no longer compulsively eat once I came into this program is another power that's greater than myself that exists as well. I think that's God for me. And I have a certainty now that God exists because of that. I had these experiences where I wanted to eat, and I was told to pray, and I was told to talk to fellows. And every time that I wanted to eat and I called someone and I prayed, I didn't eat. So, you know, one day at a time for over 3 years, I've been batting 1,000 at not compulsively overeating, and that has nothing to do with me. That has everything to do with my higher power. And as some have shared, it's an invitation into a personal relationship with my higher power, and I believe in a higher power that doesn't test me. So I know that if I'm not being tested, my higher power wants me to have the fullest experience of life, and that includes I have the dignity of choice at all times to choose spiritual growth or to choose to go back to the food. And today I'm grateful that I don't want to go back. And I'm grateful to be here and alive today and grateful to be on this call with all of you. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Appreciate your share, Kendall M. from New Jersey. Next up, Harlan G. followed by
Thanks,
Charlie.
Kelly.
Hey.
Thanks, Kelly.
Hey,
I'm
Harlan.
Thanks. Thanks for your service. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. I came into this program, and I really did not have a perfect understanding of God and the world, so how am I going to believe in God? And I could not justify the Holocaust and chattel slavery and racial injustice and the Trail of Tears. How am I going to justify all this? Because I can't believe in God with all this stuff floating around. And look at the headlines in the paper every day. I guess I'm sunk. And then somebody very wise made me understand something. Without a willingness to believe in a power greater than myself, I am not going to recover. And I came to understand that me eating ice cream and Chips Ahoy cookies and pizza is not going to rectify any of the massive injustices that the world has had. And I get these calls all the time. How can I believe in God? And then you fill in the blank. Me dying in the food is not going to help anyone. Walk me through how my death is going to reverse any injustices in the history books, and I will beat a path to the nearest pizza parlor post-haste. All I have is my humanness. I do not have a perfect understanding of God. I didn't go to the yeshiva. I didn't go to a monastery. I didn't do any of that stuff. I don't need a perfect understanding of anything. Here's what I need to understand. Without a willingness to believe, or in my case, a deep belief that there is a power greater than myself, I am not going to recover from this disease, and I am going to waste the one life I was given by God. I am the dream of the people who came before me, who died for their beliefs. In my family, there has been murder after murder after murder because we celebrate our religion. I am the sole survivor of their lives, and if I don't recover, I am spitting in their face. I'm going to make the most of the one life I have by not trying to justify these things, understanding that it was people doing this to people, not God, and God was crying too. But the only thing I can do is maximize the one life I have by believing in a power greater than myself and knocking off the BS.
That's time, Harlan.
That has stood in my way. Thanks, Kelly, for your service, and have a great one. Bye.
Bye. Have a great day. All right, next up, Charlotte T, followed by Robin P. Good morning, Charlotte. Charlotte, star one.
Good morning. Yes,
hey.
Here I am. Sorry, took me a minute. Good morning,
okay.
Charlotte T from Nashville. I haven't been on this meeting in about a week. I actually spent 5 days in a retreat, and the words that everyone is all the words that people are speaking feels like it has a new deepness and meaning to it. For me, just, you know, another level of spiritual transformation has taken place. And I love what was said about we can call this spirit of power anything, because it's always one thing. It's the great I am. There isn't, it's the only power that exists. I love that my sponsor calls her higher power Ralph. And, you know, it doesn't matter. It's the same beautiful power. And I also heard people talking about willingness this morning, and that's enough for our higher power to walk through. And the idea that that's the power that God can work with. Sorry. And I also love the idea that, you know, you don't have to have faith that the aspirin is going to take your headache away. But because this is a spiritual program, we have to find some modicum of faith and belief in God for that healing, because it is a spiritual problem and a spiritual program. And I love that if you don't have the belief, you can act as if, and God will work with that. God will work with just saying a prayer that I don't know, but I need you. I love all the architectural terms. I'm a design nerd and a landscape architect and painter, and I love the idea of the cornerstone. And if my, you know, foundation is shaky, I can go back and look at the foundation of step one, or they mention tools constantly, or step three, the keystone, the arch to freedom, and then the path to follow. The language is so beautiful, and it's especially poignant to me this morning, and I'm just sending everyone my deepest gratitude and love for your willingness to be here and your beautiful words. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, Charlotte T. And next up, we have Robin P., and then we'll have some time for more shares. Good morning, Robin.
Oh, good morning, Kelly. Hi, I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica, soon to be traveling again. You know, I am just, oh, my dog is barking. I'm so sorry. Do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe, there's a power greater than myself, greater than I can do it. This time I got it. Oh, okay. Oh, that's a new thing to try. Oh, this will do it. This will do it. That definition of insanity, that I am going to control, that illusion of control, and that the God of my previous choosing, which was food, was going to save me from all the pain I was feeling or any feelings. And literally when I had a feeling, the feeling came up, the food would come up. And I'm so grateful for these past 8.5, almost 9 years, incredulously, all the miracles of just that willingness to believe, the acting as if there's a power greater than this disease, than myself, than my ego easing God out, that I can do it this time. I'm so grateful that I know better. And, you know, just to be willing to look for the miracles every day. And I'm practicing that again, just that, oh, what miracles do I see every day? And, you know, I always write a gratitude list as part of my nightly review. And, you know, I'm just really, really practicing. And yesterday I walked into the pet store and a woman in that moment was looking at a dog in a cage who someone had brought a little dog there to see if someone dropped. She goes, am I taking you home? Are you my new dog? Because her pet had just died. It was just a magical moment of God and grace, that synchronicity that I see all the time if I just have eyes to see and ears to hear. And we're leaving Costa Rica for at least 3 months. We're traveling again, you know, finding home. We're retired, and we're going to it's very, very wet here and moldy. And we're just having some, you know, willingness to go try something else, even though we love our friends and there's so much to love here. But we're going to, the willingness to go be in alignment with what we believe is God's will for us. And it's this leap of faith once again. Am I willing to believe? Am I willing to have faith to do God's will for me and use my gifts for good to be of service to him and my fellows? I'm so grateful for all of you. I love you all. I'm holding you in my heart. And have a very blessed abstinent day, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Robin P. from Costa Rica. Okay, guys. I forgot to remind you where I'm at, where we're at. Page 47, we agnostic, second paragraph. We need to ask ourselves but one short question. Sorry about that. Usually like to do that about halfway. So we're going to open up for more sharing, and we're asking if you share only every third day. So if you shared last Friday or yesterday on any vision meeting, please step back. So who would like to share on the paragraph?
Janice C.
Larry K. Larry.
Loretta H.
Larry. I heard somebody after Shanna, but I heard you, Larry. Who was after Shanna?
Carolyn S. from New York.
Carolyn S., that was it.
Gail H.
Anita J.
Gotcha, Loretta. Gotcha.
Anita J.
Anita. All right, that's all we got. We may not even have time for that. Okay, Shanna, Larry, Carolyn, Gail, Loretta, and Anita. All right, Shanna, we missed you last time. You're up.
Good morning. This is Shanna C., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Y'all, I can't even tell you. Okay, so I was working with a sponsee this morning. I wasn't necessarily planning on getting on the meeting this morning. So I was just enjoying my coffee with my husband. And I thought, maybe I should get on the meeting today too. I don't know. And then all of a sudden, right in that moment, I get a text message from my sponsor. Hey, are you having trouble unmuting? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, I'm not even on the meeting. And she's like, did you not put your name up? I said, I'm not even on the meeting. And I said, maybe I should be, because I literally just thought about getting on. And then she texted, and I'm like, dang. So, and then I get on here, and I'm like, willing to believe that there is a power greater than us. Okay, yeah, I'm willing to believe, because I can't make this kind of stuff up. I did my prayer and meditation this morning. I gave my will and life over to the care of God as I understood him. You know, put the food down. I was enjoying the presence of what I believe that God of my understanding is. And then he shows up, you know, and I can't bottle this stuff up. I can't market it. I just got to be in it. And these steps have enabled me to access power by which I could live. And, you know, the steps promise that the consciousness of our belief will come to us, you know. But for me, what that means is doing the daily, the simple utilization of those simple tools that have been laid at my feet, through prayer and meditation, through putting the food down, through helping others, and just having that channel unblocked to where I can live in that presence that is real, that is keeping me safe and protected. And therefore, I'm not finding it necessary to eat the way that I used to. And I've loved all the shares this morning. So grateful to be on here sometimes. And I can see my God is so funny, because I basically got wrangled onto this meeting this morning through a power that knows way more than I do and operates through people. And so grateful to be here and absent. Happy, joyous, and free today. All right. Thanks again. And that's it before I start talking too much.
Oh, my God, Shanna, thank you. That's crazy. I know it's hard to hear on here, but I'm thinking, I know I heard you, apparently. Anyway, all right, that's Shanna C. And then next up, Larry K., followed by Carolyn S. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Kelly. This is Larry K., recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. Thanks for your service. You know, I'm reminded of how difficult it is for us to accept throughout history this spiritual solution. You know, in Bill's story, he describes how he came to believe, right? And so if I take you back to November 1934, Abby Thatcher, as we know, visits Bill at his Brooklyn home. And it's during this visit that Bill learns about God. Oh, my God, cringe. God of his own understanding. And page 12 captures this, right? Abby tells Bill his life has changed as a result of practicing the Oxford Group 6 spiritual activities, these steps. And now Bill becomes distressed, right, as I was when I came in. When Abby starts talking about God, and however, you know what, he does listen because he has to listen. He realizes that Abby's life has changed for the better, that Abby's sober for the first time in many years. And Bill looks at his own life like we look at our own life. We have to admit that it's a train wreck. You know, it's a tangled, tragic mess of existence. That's what Bill had to admit. And on page 12, you know, the first paragraph, despite the living example of my friend, there remained in me vestiges, tatters, traces of my old prejudice. The word God aroused a certain antipathy. I didn't like it. And the paragraph this morning doesn't tell us we need to believe anything. Rather, it tells us that if we are even willing to believe, much like Abby and Bill, we're willing to believe, a wonderfully effective spiritual structure. I hope this statement hits you hard as it did Bill, as it hit me. Because if it does, perhaps it'll serve to melt the icy intellectual in whose shadow you've lived and you've shivered for many years. Maybe you can stand in the sunlight and spirit at last. See, nothing about this basic program has changed in some 90 years. It was only a matter of being willing. Studying this text, as we do every morning, without taking the action it suggests, is the equivalent of lighting a match in the dark, only to let it flicker out before casting any light. We do that, right? We come here. Or planting a seed in barren soil. Nothing's going to take root. It has to take action. The willingness to believe, yeah, I'm willing, I'm willing. Oh, my God, I'm willing. I'll tell you what I'm not willing to do is take these steps, to put the food down, to take these actions. Then you got nothing. You got seeds in barren soil. With that, I pass. Thanks, Kelly.
This is Carolyn S. Thank you, New York.
So much, Larry K. What, is this Carolyn?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought I had to unmute myself. You already said my name. Okay. This is Carolyn S. from New York, recovered compulsive overeater. Very grateful to be on the line and to be talking because I haven't shared in a bit. So when I came into program, I did not believe in a traditional God because, you know, for many reasons, but, you know, I could certainly point to the wars and starvation and everything else and say, if there's a loving God, this stuff wouldn't be happening. And over time, I learned, okay, well, you know, man has choice, right? So wars are, you know, men fighting men. It's not, you know, God is not making that happen. But then I think about other things like, you know, disease. Why does a particular person get cancer? You know, I have a coworker whose two 2-year-old grandson was born with all kinds of health problems, was in the hospital most of his 2 years, and then died. And, you know, if nothing happens in God's world by mistake, then why? Why was this child born? Why did it suffer? Why did his family go through hell? And I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But, you know, so I believed in something bigger than myself when I came in, because I looked at the world around me and I knew I didn't create the planet and the people and the universe. I mean, clearly there's something bigger than me. But did that something, you know, care what happened to everybody, to me? I didn't have a personal God. And so did I believe coming in? Not in the kind of God that would help me individually with my food. But was I willing to believe? I think it was even slightly less than that. It was act as if. So am I being willing to believe when I act as if? I guess so. So okay, let's pretend there's a God and let's pray to him and see what happens. And you know what? It works. And that was kind of shocking to me. Like, okay, I guess there is a power greater than me that cares about me and every other creature, and can simultaneously be there for all of it. Like, he's not so busy with the Middle East, or, you know, that he can't listen to and help me. He can make miracles happen in my life. At the same time, he's making miracles happen all over the world and the universe. This is a limitless power, in an ultimate and eternal power. And my power is only loving. And I pray that in the next life, I do think there's something after this, I will understand. But for now, I have to have faith and do what I know God would have me do, and not blame him for the suffering I see in the world, but be grateful that he exists.
That's fine, Carolyn.
And that as long as I stay close to him, I'll be okay. Thank you, I pass.
Thank you, Carolyn S. from New York. And I think Gail's going to be our last share for today. Gail, where are you calling from? What's the initial of your last name?
Hi, I'm Gail H. from Seattle, Washington, formerly from Chicago, many years ago. Thank you all for sharing. I bring up Chicago because that's where my journey began. And it began in 1968. And I got my first recovery in 1969. And like so many of you on the line, it took 18 years before the wonderful gift of abstinence began in my life. And one of the things that, but I go back to the basics, I feel like I'm in blue-collar AA for myself, in the sense of when I came in those many years ago, decades ago, all they said to me as I worried about God and all my ideas is they just said, came to believe. So it kept it in a way that my brain in its complications could begin to hear and feel. And that thought that God believed in me before I believed in him, and all I needed to do was just come to the meeting. And, you know, at a meeting, my addiction was not activated. It was not present acting, and it was there. And my action step was to listen. In those days, they said, you know, you had 2 ears and 1 mouth. They were very bossy in those days. And you were told not to say anything the first year, and you needed to just listen and pay attention. And I could do that. Those were directions I could do, even though my belief was not there. It didn't have to be there. It came as a result of this program. And what we always said in those days was, abstinent today by the grace of God in this program of Alcoholics Anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous. And I believed in the program. I saw that when more than 2 people came together in that moment at that meeting, there was something that happened. I didn't understand it. And then I would get with my sponsor every week, and she would, and I would just talk about how God was working in our life. I mean, it was simple. And then I took a big book study of how they did it in the 40s, in the very beginning with Bill and Bob. And it was simplistic in our way of thinking now. And, you know, this program has grown. But I am now in a state of anorexia. I've been in and out of the hospital. And as a result of all these years of abstinence, from obesity to bulimia to life-threatening situations, I wound up losing weight. And I'm in that challenge of asking God and you and listening to you every morning.
That's time, Gail.
Yeah. Thank you, honey.
Thank you so much, Gail H. from Washington. And Loretta and Anita, I'm sorry we ran out of time. Maybe you can stick around for the second hour. Come back tomorrow. I'd love to have you. So thanks to everybody who shared this morning. Wonderful meeting. Well, I always think so, but it was really good. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. The share ID for today, if you want to hear it again or share it, is 21748. 21748. So we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Nick F., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only, to the end of the page for us.
Nick F., Compulsive Overeater. It says, our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. You freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road to happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until.